Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Getting ready to sell their soul for a chance.
and you must choose. Will it be eternal life, or will you choose to lose your soul as you disappear into the midnight?
Heavenly Father, we praise your name, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for the days that we have ahead of us. We praise you, Father, for helping us to see the things that we have ahead of us and to be able to maintain some form of stable existence through your prayer, through your blessings, through your anointing, through your grace in our lives. We just praise you, Father, for the days that we are in right now. And we pray that, Father, that you will forgive our brothers and sisters who are, you know, they see things in a different manner than we do, and that's okay. But we pray that you will forgive them for not looking at their Bible as accurately as maybe they ought, or not at all, and following the words of people that they hear on the internet and telling people things that they should not be telling them. And Father, we just pray that you will forgive them, because we have all been in those situations before ourselves, and we need your forgiveness, Father. We need your incredible forgiveness, the forgiveness that is spoken of in Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12, where you remember that we are dust and that you will continue to forgive us, Father, even in the midst of all of our difficulties understanding the things that are happening around the world, understanding the timeline, or trying to understand the timeline. And Father, we just praise your holy name, and we thank you that you will continue to keep us stable and infill us, Father, with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Keep us stable, Father, for those who are so alarmist and believe that the times are 10 times further along than they actually are. We pray, Father, for a supernatural peace to come upon their hearts and minds as they begin to realize that their posits have been inaccurate. And we pray that they will repent and that they will come to you and seek you, Father God, in merciful grace, in just an outpouring of your grace upon them, Father, and that we should all ultimately unite, because we see incredible division like we probably have never seen before. There even continues to be fellow brothers and sisters of ours, Father, who are continuing to tell people that Donald Trump is coming back and he's going to retake the presidency of the United States even before the 2024 election. Father, the confusion, the massive mess that we have that's just intermingled amidst the words of those who claim to be hearing from you, Father, in the capacity of prophecy or dreams and visions, is beyond the most wildest. There is really no words. There are no words that could describe what we have happening around about us. Father, we just praise you for those of our brothers and sisters who are not paying attention to things that are happening on the internetosphere, who are not paying attention to the things that are being said on YouTube, who are not paying attention to the things that are being said out there, Father, that are hurtful. They're hurtful. They're inaccurate. They do not follow the words that are written in your scripture, Father. And we just pray that we can just please, Father, with your anointing, with the supernatural outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon the world, especially upon those of us who want to believe with all of our hearts that we are going to be chosen to escape all these things that are about to come upon the earth and stand before you. Father, we pray, and Lord Jesus, we pray that you will just pour out like a gentle October snow, an anointing upon your people, Father God, such as never been seen since before there was time, that would just bring unity, that would bring us a calmness, a sense of calmness, a sense of what would be the right word? Accuracy in our understanding, that we would be calm and unified and full of your presence, full of your glory, full of your power, understanding who we are in you, understanding what our calling is on behalf of our Lord Jesus, and keeping us calm, not out there screaming bloody murder that everything is the mark of the beast, that everything is the end of the world, but yet, Father God, looking at the things that we see happening around about us, and Lord, please, just giving us that supernatural peace and that stability and that I don't know what the right word is, but that fervency, that level-headedness, that keeping our hearts and our minds stable for the days that we have to deal with in front of us that are so much more, arguably so much more challenging than what we even see happening around us today. And we just thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for keeping us stable and focused on you in all parts of our lives. We pray for those, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that have to continue to go on working every day in the incredibly difficult workplace that's associated with the days that we live in right now. And we just pray, Father, for an anointing to fall upon your people, for a sense of unity, for a spiritual sense of unity to fall upon your people, for the people that are on the seven mountains that believe things that are just impossible and could never happen. Father, we just thank you for your grace, your just unbelievable mercy, Father, to fall upon all of us and to bring a sense of unity amidst your children, Father, that we are made better, prepared for the days that we have ahead of us, and that we are seeking you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and that we are empowered by not only your power and your anointing through the Holy Spirit, but also through your wisdom, Father, that we should be calm, cool, collected, and very aware, very prepared for the days that we have that are well just before us. And we thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise and glory and honor and just worship you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the days that we are in right now. We thank you for choosing us for the days that we're in. And we pray that you will give us strength that we have never even imagined that we could have. We give you all the honor and glory. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, forever and ever. We praise thee. Hallelujah. Amen.
Watch and pray for I would come for you one day. I gave you my word so you would know the time I've come and take you home. It's time for you to look around. The signs I gave were coming down. Don't be caught asleep and blind. You don't want to be left behind. Come and be home. 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 Come and be holy.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I still continue to get these communications. I'm not going to go into what form they are in because there's so many different forms. We have, I would submit probably about 6 or 7 different messengers from different applications, web-based communications applications and such like that. And I get input, you know, from various ones of those. And it's a bummer. Yeah, it's kind of sad that I'm still getting, to my mind, my mind-shattering existence, communications from people that are saying that, you know, the vaccine is the mark of the beast. I'm like, I just, you know, but that's okay. Every time I receive one, I just simply respond back, brother and sister, brother or sister, this is inaccurate. Please read your Bible in the name of Jesus, I pray. And that's all I can do. I mean, you know, and it's all right. It's all right. We're just going to go ahead and have to live with the things that we see happening around us. Can you imagine just for a moment what it's going to be like when things get worse? I mean, you know, really, when you think about it, yeah, the pandemic is bad. I mean, you know, and yeah, I know, I get it all. I know the whole deal about it being created as a bioweapon in Fort Detrick. I understand that Obama and Fauci were behind moving it over to the Wuhan lab with $3.7 million, which was probably only the money that we knew about. It was probably hundreds of millions of dollars, much more than what we're even aware of, and that what has leaked out. I'm actually still remain quite shocked, maybe I shouldn't be, in regard to the inaction of Trump during his time in office in regard to that dynamic, makes me suspicious. I have been and forever will be suspicious of everything and anything that has to do with Trumpianity. I still believe that he may have very well been placed there by the organization in Washington, D.C. known as the Family. If you don't know about that, I'm sorry. I can't help you. I've preached about it. I have warned about it. I've given names of documentaries about it. I've given you channels where you can go see it and names of books even, titles of books. And there's only so much a person can do. And I'm not going to, you know, I praise God. I'm, you know, that he has given me the strength to continue to go through the, you know, the trials and tribulations and difficulties and oh my goodness gracious sakes alive. I mean, you know, anybody who's been around this program long enough knows, you know, at least a taste, at least an inkling of the things that I've had to personally go through in order to continue doing this program. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And that's okay. You know, I don't want to overstate it. I know there are people that have gone through worse things. I can only imagine what it must be like to be them. And I don't even want to think about it. I just want to keep on, you know, sometimes you got to keep your heads down. You know, we got to all keep our heads down. Sometimes we need to know when we need to shift into a defensive posture. You know, sometimes it is proper to duck down into the foxhole and to allow the salvos and the various, you know, weaponry to shoot over us and such like that. Until things quiet down and we get our, you know, act together and all that kind of stuff and we regain our energy, and then we can go back out after the enemy, you know, using spiritual warfare tactics and our prayers and things like that, you know, regroup, if you will. There's nothing wrong with falling back, you know, getting your strength back up, praying and seeking the Lord with all your heart and your mind and soul, as we ought to be doing every day, and then going back out with the sword of the Spirit and whacking some demon heads off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's all part of the challenging dynamic that is associated with our walk, you know, during these times. I think that right now, and I think that there's probably a lot of people that would agree with me, not everybody, but a lot, that would agree with me that the days that we live in right now are probably the hordes of hell being released upon the world. I would submit that it is reasonable to estimate that at this point, and I'm not saying that it has reached a peak, so don't get me wrong by any stretch of the imagination, please. Understand that my point here is that if right now, today, we can say with some assurance that the hordes of hell have indeed been released upon the earth, and we just make those assumptions via the things that we see happening around about us, the pandemics, the masks, and all that kind of stuff, and it's stuff that's happening in the United States of Babylon the Great, where this, you know, program is, you know, broadcasting out of, okay, is nothing by comparison to the things that are happening across the world, the things that are happening over in Europe, the things that are happening in Indonesia, the things that are happening in different parts of the world. It is so much more, it's like 1,000 times more horrible than the things that are happening in the United States of Babylon the Great. In the United States of Babylon the Great, because of the way that the government structure is set up and the compartmentalization of the individual government systems that are locked into each state, you know, that creates creates a dynamic whereby this country does not collapse under the pressure of despots and rulers the same way and under the same oppression and magnitude of oppression that you have happening over, for example, in Germany and France under Macron and all these other things that are happening. Okay, and don't even get me going on the horrible things that are happening over in India. And then we still have COVID deniers out there, which is fine. I mean, you know what? I get it. I know it's a bioweapon. I understand that they're treating a bioweapon with a bioweapon. I've written articles about this. I've had conversations about this. I've talked about this on the show a bazillion different times in a bazillion different ways. I totally understand it. The problem is that the vast majority of people who think they understand it only get part of the picture. They only understand a little bit of the whole story. And so they get out there and they're like, well, all these stories about people dying by the thousands in India, well, they're just not true. Those are exaggerated. And I'm like, no, brothers and sisters, they're not exaggerated. They're not. They're not. And see, that's the problem. We are so stuck. And once we think that, there might have been some truth to the, when we get to the place where we think that there was no mission to the moon. You know, there was no lunar landing. The whole thing was fake. The American flag is that's moving in the wind. That is proof that the whole thing is fake because there is no wind up there, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then what happens is then one thing leads to another. And then we think that the earth is flat and all this other stuff. And I don't even want to get going on that subject because that's the most divisive Illuminati fake lie from the devil that has ever been implanted into Christianity to cause division amongst the brethren. And God hates that. Okay, so I just steer clear of it. I don't even want to get involved in it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want anything to do with it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I just pray that the Lord will continue to keep me able as best as possible. And I don't know. I mean, we're all human. You know, at some point, we're all going to fail. We're all going to drop over and we're going to die. And that's just kind of how God has made things. That's part of his perfect will. And I don't know how long I'm going to last. I don't know how long before I drop over dead. I don't know. I'm like anybody else. I have hopes, dreams, visions, wonders, and I wonder if I'm going to make it till this day. I wonder if I'm going to make it to that day. I wonder if, you know, and we all are in those different places. And I do hear your emails. I do see the communications. I do see the text messages. And I recognize that we're all suffering. We are emotionally in our own ways. Okay. And I get that. Now, I personally, for what this may help some, it probably won't help, I'd say, 95% of the people out there listening to the program right now. But there may be a 5 or 2 or 3% group of listeners that this does help a little teeny bit. And if it does, then praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But for me, what I'm trying to do, which isn't easy, is to get past it. I'm trying to use the renewing of my mind component of my walk through Christ and through my prayer to get past the masks and the pandemic and the inoculations and all the other crazy stuff that the Christian population out there are saying. I'm not going to name names, but boy, would I like to. I would like to just rat out so many people that claim to be part of Christianity that have YouTube channels that they're very popular, but they are wrong, 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 wrong. They are lying, and whether they know they are lying, oh my gosh, I pray in Jesus' name, Father, please. Please, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, please, if they have any inkling in their mind at all that they might not be correct in the things that they are spreading and saying, please, Father, forgive them. Please, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will forgive them. Please, Father, because we know that your scripture says that all liars go to hell. Oh, Father, just forgive us. We are just so, so ignorant. We just do not know what we're doing, and we just got to keep on keeping on. We got to keep on keeping on, don't we, kids? We got to keep on keeping on. I don't know how else to say it. All right. Praise God. Keep on keeping on. For that 2 to 5% or whatever that percentage may be that are out there, I'm trying very hard. It's not easy. I admit it. And I struggle. I go, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, that whole thing. But I'm trying to get myself mentally and emotionally to a place where I am no longer thinking about COVID-19. I'm no longer thinking about that. I think I'm uniquely qualified, as I always have been, since I've started doing the show and really since I've been a child, to be able to speak to things that experientially that a lot of people as believers can't. Okay, they see the things happening around them. They look at the articles. They see the newscasts occurring on TV. They see the contention and the debates and all the other things that are happening on the internet. They may be affected by things a little bit by virtue of what people are saying in their families or what communications they hear over their cell phone or whatever the case may be. But I am, God seems to make me go through that which I preach. So it kind of makes me a little bit worried sometimes, because when I think about some of the things that I preach, if I got to go through all those things, I'm in for a really, really bumpy road for me to have to go through. But when I look at the things that I have had to go through, a death of a close relative, very close, and my very best friend in a company that has over 3,000 people working for it, $2+ billion, almost $3 billion in revenue, and of all those people that are working there, the one person that was like my buddy, my friend, that would call me up on the phone and say, oh man, can you believe the things that they're doing right now? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you know, that kind of thing, you know, the insider information kind of thing, the scoop, to have him pass away as well. And then a very close relative of mine as well, the daughter of my sister, and then to have that death in our family affect her so fantabulously. I mean, why wouldn't it? What mother in her 70s would be able to easily deal without Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. With the death of her daughter. Oh my gosh. And I have to keep on reminding myself of these things. Do you hear me hesitating? Do you hear my mouth hesitating? You know what I'm saying? It is mind-shattering for me to look back upon all of the things that I've had to go through. I'm not going to get into – I was doing a little – you know how like you'll walk around occasionally with your cell phone and you'll take a little miniature video of things around your house, you know, just for remembrance sake, right? Well, I was doing one of those things, and I was walking up the stairs looking at some of these little funny tin signs that I put up in the sun, and then I saw I saw it. The crack, I don't know what you would call it, a divot, a crevasse, a smashed in portion of the drywall that was coming just below one of the tin signs. So here I am, I'm walking up, and I'm just doing this for the fun of it. A little bit of distraction. I knew that, you know, a couple of years from now, if we're still around, you know, I hope we're not, but I think we will be still around here. Okay. But I was, you know, sometimes we look back in those little things and we go, ha 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 ha, recollection kind of thing. And I was walking up the stairs looking at, you know, and filming the tin signs and things like that. And then I was like, my camera kind of zeroed in on the divot, the big punched in area of the drywall. And I was like, uh-oh, there's the place where my head was smashed into the drywall by that demonically possessed individual controlled by a strong man that smashed my head. I mean, blood dripping down. If I took that tin sign down off the wall, there would still be streaks of blood coming down from the imprint of my head inside the drywall. Okay, now I don't know how much I cleaned off. I was in shock. You have to understand. That was a very traumatic, that was a PTSD, post-traumatic stress kind of a thing. All right, and I try not to think about it. And I could go into all the details about the police and the police cars and all the things and the miracles that were associated with it and the impossible and the angels having to hold down the individual and my finger being half bit off and the Lord completely healing that and all the other things that happened. And that's really only just one story. That's only one testimony of about, probably 100. Maybe 100. I bet you I have 100 testimonies. If I was to look at my entire life going all the way back to when I was a little kid that my mom called Chipper, I, you know, I'm talking about a little bitty kid, you know, like about 5 or 6, 7 years old. I honestly believe that I probably have 100 individual, supernatural, unbelievable testimonies that I could row up one after the other, after the other, after the other, that are, looking back on them, put woven together into a tapestry of a book, would result in somebody saying, not possible. Absolutely could not be true. And you know what? I would agree with them. I would agree with them. If I was to look back on my life, I would absolutely, I'd be like, you know, you're right. There's no way that could possibly have happened to one individual. There's no way. But it did. And I'm that person. And so I think to myself, when I look at all the things that are happening around us right now, and I hope that this helps some, because I know it won't help everybody, but I look at my life, I look at my experiences, I look at the things that I'm going through even today, which are plentiful, believe me. And I say to myself, you know what, how am I going to get through this? You know, if you're running a race like the Apostle Paul used to help us understand what we have to go through in order to endure to the end, and we got to look at things as kind of like running a race, you know? And if we look at things as running a race, how can we, you know, kind of keep on going like we're going right now, you know, bouncing off the walls, believing every little thing that we say, the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast. Oh my gosh, everything is, oh no. I mean, if we're going to keep on going like we're going right now, we're not going to face, there's no way we're not going to finish the race. I'm just here to tell you, we're not going to finish it. Scratch it off your list. Go repent right now. Fall to your knees, cry to the Lord Jesus and say, I'm sorry, but I can't make the race. Because you're not going to make it. I'm telling you, you're not going to make it. Now, on the flip side of that coin, if you were to readjust the way that you think, like I'm trying to do, that's what I'm trying to do right now. I, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey. I can't say that I'm there. I certainly haven't. I'm holding onto the bus bumper, like I say all the time. You know, the bus is bumping over these gigantic potholes and I'm flapping in the wind and I'm still holding on as best as I can. But you know what? Right now I'm trying to get plays in my, I don't know, call it my sanctified imagination, whereby I am no longer dwelling in the COVID-19 world. And you're like, what are you talking about? How can you even think about, you know, the only time I jump in and say anything to somebody is when I know that they're flat out lying. They may not realize that they're lying, and they may not realize the damage that they're doing to the body of Christ by saying the things and spreading the rumors and all the other nonsense that they're saying, but they are. They're doing awful damage. They're doing awful damage. And so I will jump in just for a moment, and I will very kindly send them a little message, and I'll say, brother or sister, please, please take another look at your Bible. This is not the mark of the beast. You are incorrect. And then I will just disappear off into la-la land and never say, I won't say another thing to them. I won't follow them. I won't listen to them. I won't listen to what they say subsequently. Okay, I don't care. I don't want to know. But I will say this, I am trying very, very hard myself, and I do recommend this for some of you out there that maybe feel that you might benefit by this. I don't know if you will or not. I don't know. And I'm hoping that I will benefit by it, but I am trying to look past it all. All right, now I do, you know, because of the radio show. Now, if I didn't have the radio show to do, I would, that would be, in a sense, I wouldn't have to pay attention to any of it. Okay, I could just flip the news totally off altogether. Okay, and then I would not have to collect, you know, 100 plus, you know, apocalyptic headlines and rifle through them prior to every single show and that kind of thing. And then I would be able to divorce myself entirely from all this stuff, all this apocalyptic stuff. Now, the challenge there, though, is that I would like to be able to separate all the COVID and vaccination stuff and the lies and the misconceptions of the body of Christ, and I'd like to just garble them up in a ball like a big piece of paper, just garble them in the ball and throw them into the fireplace and let them just burn up. Okay, so we have so much other stuff that we need to be focusing on. It's almost like this gigantic satanic sleight of hand that is occurring right now, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain kind of a thing.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
But it's real. And therein lies the problem. And then, of course, you have the people out there saying that it isn't real. And I don't know. I mean, is there anybody that's up to building a spaceship? I know I say this a lot, but I really, if anybody builds a spaceship, if you can please email me at jbaptist777@gmail.com, jbaptist777@gmail.com, please let me know that you're building a spaceship and tell me where to meet you. Okay, I'll bring whatever I need to bring. If I got to bring fuel or I got to make arrangements to have fuel delivered, whatever, or food, what do they call it? The army rats or whatever, the rations or whatever. Hey, cans of tuna. I'm totally there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right, kids? Hallelujah. Let's get out of here. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But, I'm trying to. This is my 2-5% thing. I'm trying to disconnect my brain from all things COVID-19. Now, I know I can't completely accomplish that. I understand that because it's kind of like, if you're 6 feet under the water of a cesspool and you're gulping for air because you're completely, utterly surrounded by the darkness of a particular topic, which in this case we'll just hold up as the COVID-19 bioweapon topic. Okay. It's a little bit hard to take a shower. You can take as many showers as you want to, but as soon as you get out of the bathtub, you're kind of like back in the cesspool, if you get my drift. Okay, so that makes it unbelievably hard. I mean, it really does. It makes it unbelievably hard. Some of us have moms and dads that are in, old folks' homes and things. Restrictions on visitation. Family members that have been sick. Some, like in my case, that have died. And then, dozens, if not hundreds of or more people that we know, maybe through our Facebook pages or whatever the case is. It's really, 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 really hard. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is very, very hard to get out of the twilight zone. I mean, it really is. But I'm trying. I'm trying to get myself to a place. It's not easy. I have not been successful. But I'm trying to get myself to a place where my walk with Jesus, my time in communion in the morning, hopefully getting back in the full steam ahead with my workouts in the morning, my elliptical trainer, I need to get that going on again, to full intensity. Positive attitude with my work. Positive attitude with my finances, which have been terrible, just absolutely reprehensible and horrible. When you are convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus is coming back, like this year or next year or whatever the case may be, your behaviors can change. Anybody out there who understands this dynamic? I don't know. Yeah. Praise God. So I'm kind of divorcing my brain as much as I can, renewing my mind and getting it as disconnected as possible, even in the midst of my life experiences, dealing with these things, hitting so close to home. But at the same time, I'm trying to not think about them. Okay. I'm trying to not be a party to it. I don't want to swim. How do I explain this? It's kind of like there isn't a perfect metaphor for this, but it's almost like I want to put on a level 4 biohazard suit. I know I have to walk through the cesspool. I get it. I mean, how can you escape it? It's everywhere around you. I mean, how in the world can you escape it? But at the same time, I want to put on a level 4 biohazard suit and not be affected by it. Now, you could say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I just praise your way through it, hallelujah, and just raise your hands up to the Lord and praise your way through it, but eventually, you're going to have to go eat that peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the counter. eventually you're going to see something, be experiential. Something's going to happen. You're going to see it. You're going to realize that you're still in that biohazard level 4, you know, suit. You're still walking through that. It's going to come in on you. And I'm trying to figure out in my walk how I can get past that. I'm trying to figure out in my walk how I can draw in closer to Jesus, closer in my walk, closer in and keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on, keep on preparing for the future, keep on, if you want to call it prepping, let's call it prepping. If you want to call it, being a good steward in the Lord, Proverbs, it's all over the book of Proverbs. I could sit here, I could do a whole two-hour radio show on that. Just being a good steward in God. I'm trying to figure out how I can continue that walk forward, okay, and not be sucker punched and slurped into the riptide of all this noise, of all the things that are happening around us, you know, with the COVID-19 stuff and all of the people saying the things they should not be, all that. I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to be a part of it. And I think that that's a good place to be. I really do. I believe that if we can find our way through this, wow, what would you call it? I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, who would have thought that Christianity would be the worst catalyst? You know, you would think that the Satanists would be the worst of all, that the Satanists and their manipulation and mind control of mankind would be bar none the very worst at shoving out there or rolling the tsunami wave of misinformation out there amidst all of humanity, that they would be the very worst. But what they've done is they've shoved this humongous satanic tsunami of misinformation out there across all of the world, all 8 billion people, and then Christianity, not all of Christianity, thank you, Jesus, and I praise God for all of those that I am familiar with and commune with and are friends with and praise with and have family members with that are part of the body of Christ that have not fallen into this trap. I thank you, Jesus, for that because it keeps me anchored. All right, thank you, Lord. But who would have thought that in that gigantic tsunami of misinformation, that Christianity on YouTube and social media, which I've been warning about now for years, would become part of the virus. They would become part of the disinformation virus. And they would be, you know, repeating it. Viruses replicate, okay? You know, whether it's a computer virus, I could sit here and quote, you know, bazillions of different types of, you know, computer viruses and worms that have spread across the world and caused apocalyptic things to happen in the computer world, you know, over the last, you know, two decades plus. And you know what? The Christianity and YouTube and all that has become part of that virus. It replicates. And this person said it to this person. This person said it to that person. And it's like, and then it goes from 1 to 15 to 20 to 1,000 to 1,000 to 100,000 to millions. And then all of a sudden it's just flying everywhere. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And, you know, so I just want to disconnect from it. Praise Jesus. I just want to, for me, I want to be close to the Lord. I want to make Jesus, I want Jesus to be my first love. I hope that you do too. I hope that we all come to a place in the midst of all of this chaos, which has been thrust upon us by Satanists and Illuminati and all these other entities and beings that are, you see, we have to get past it. We have to. I know it seems impossible. I do. I really do. Nobody, boy, folks, if you knew the tears that I have cried, if you had any idea what I've been through, how much I have prayed for every listener of this program, you'd know that I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. I'm sharing with you not escapism, but recognizing as we look at that map of our journey for Jesus. Okay, I'm looking at that map of our journey for Jesus, and I'm saying to myself, what do we have to do to get ourselves in shape? What do we have to do with our lives to get ourselves in physical condition, in spiritual condition, to be able to run this very, very long race that we have ahead of us? And one of the things is we have to look at this La Brea tar pit. that we're all stuck in, you know, forced to be a part of, unfortunately, right now. And we have to look past it. And we have to draw in closer to Jesus through praise, through worship, through trust in our Father, through fear of God, through spending time in the Word, all these things that we've been called to do, and get past this La Brea tar pit. We got to scrape the tar that has gotten on our bodies, okay, metaphorically or analogously. We got to get that, we got to get the icky off of us. Right, kids? The icky off of us? Right, you know what I'm talking about? You know what it's like to have to get the icky off you. I know. We got to get the icky off us. And we got to focus on drawing in closer to the Lord. We got to focus on rejuvenating ourselves, getting through our communion with our Heavenly Father, through prayer, through our praise and worship, and disconnecting the umbilical cord to all the evil that is happening across the world, the Psalm 91 stuff that is already in play. If we've got to cut it, we've got to cut the cord, and we've got to spend more time in the presence of the Lord. We've got to look at that map of the journey that we have in front of us, knowing that knowing the power that we've been given, and knowing the blessing of that power and our calling on account of that power. Okay, and then focus on the mission. Focus on the mission. And the mission is so much bigger. If you were to look at, you know, look at it like a Candyland, you know, the game Candyland, and you know how it just swirls around and it goes through this gumdrop valley and this other, you know, and all these, that's the journey. And we got to go on that journey. We're on that journey. We're already jettisoned forward on the apocalyptic journey. Amen. And as part of that, we've got to realize that this, what we're going through right now is just, it's a drop in the bucket. It is like literally nothing in comparison to what we have ahead of us. Okay, and I could sit here and give example after example. The Russians moving up on the Donbass. Am I talking about the Jack Van Impe album that I bought when I went out in 1973? All those things, you know, looking like, you know, the Vilna Gaon, rabbinical prophetic word regarding Russia moving into Istanbul. All of that, you know, Crimea, then Istanbul, and all that. Starting World War III, and then the Messiah coming, which would have been the Antichrist in the case of the Kabbalistic rabbis. See, when you connect all this stuff together, and then you see the Russians pull up, the Russians pull back, the Russians pull up, the Russians pull back, the Russians pull up, the Russians pull back. Yeah, you know, the North Korea says this, and they back off. Then they say this, and they back off. Then they say this. They've been doing this for, it seems like 1,000 years. It seems like 1,000 years that they've been doing this. But it isn't. Now it has been happening now for well over 10, 12, 13, 14 years, probably, certainly for 10. All right. But we have got to figure out, how are we going to endure it? How are we going to endure the people that we, you know, our eyes and our ears are the portals to our souls. Oh yes. Amen. They are. So when we're getting bombarded with communications over Facebook and all that other stuff, and people are saying, it's the mark of the beast, it's the mark of the beast, woe be unto all those Christians out there that would be misled by their pastors, they're all going to burn in hell. You know, do you think Jesus is going to be okay with that? Do you really think Jesus is going to be okay with that? You saying stuff like that? Anyway, we are in desperate times right now in regard to all of these things. And I know that in my walk, when I look at my Candyland map, and kids, you like the game Candyland a lot, don't you? I know. You know, gumdrops and all kinds of yummy candy on the way. All right. So when I look at my Candyland map and I see how much stuff we're going to have to go through, and I see that we're just kind of stuck in this dark, spooky, creepy, gummy, weird part of the map, then I have to disconnect myself from that part of the map. I have to focus now on the future. I have to focus now on, where are we going as the body of Christ? I have to focus now on my walk, and you do too, on my walk and your walk growing in closer to Jesus, spending more time in communion in the morning, spending more time on our knees in prayer, asking the Lord to bring us in love closer to Him and in love with our fellow brothers and sisters, in praying like we ought to pray and forgiving as we ought to forgive, and being ready as the new wineskins for the days that we have ahead of us. I hope that makes sense. And the only way that that can actually, in my world, now maybe in your world it's totally different, but from what I hear from the people that email me, they're still being sucked down into the pit. Okay, they're in the quicksand of the La Brea tar pit, and they're being slurped down into that pit, and they can't seem to break themselves free of it. And somehow we all have to figure out how we are going to break free of it and continue in our walk. You know, people will email me regularly and they'll say, Johnny, given the end times apocalyptic things that are happening today, should my son or daughter go to college? And I'm like, yeah. See, here's the thing. We've got to break loose of it, man. I'm serious. I don't know what else to say to you, but I'm begging you to please consider what I am. This comes from well over a decade of making nothing but endless mistakes. We have got to stop thinking that everything that we're going through, the things that we're experiencing, the La Brea tar pit that we're trapped in, the quicksand that we're being sucked into, we have got to stop thinking that that's it. And so many can't do that. We become myopic, we get horse blinders put on us, and we get sucked down into the quicksand, and that's where we are, and that's where we're staying. And we start to scream to everybody, Mark of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, Mark of the Beast! You're not doing anybody any good. You're not doing your Father any good. You're not doing your Lord Jesus any good. You're not saving any souls, and you're making the body of Christ look kind of silly. Anyway, on that note, praise God, thank you, Jesus. We're going to get back anchored into this program, and I am so happy to have Gary Wayne on here. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh, Lord, my God, please, in the name of Jesus, protect the electronic wires, protect the internet connectivity that goes between us and Cinchcast Broadcasting up in New York. Father God, we just pray that this program will stay alive and it will communicate and that the streaming audio will continue to move across the world, Father, and thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to bring Brother Gary back on the program. Hallelujah. And let's go ahead and do the news. Glory be to God. Thank you for your protection, Father, and thank you for bringing us through this next week. We know we have a lot more ahead of us, and we praise you for your strength. We praise you for your perseverance. We praise you for disconnecting us from all of the noise and nonsense and misunderstandings that are out there, and we pray that you will forgive our fellow brothers and sisters for saying the things that they should not be saying, Father, because we have come from that place ourselves. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory and worship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to get through each day. Day-tight compartments. All the glory to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to get through the things that we need to get through that we can run this race until the very end. Hallelujah. And now the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
Game over.
All right, kids. Hallelujah. Let's do a little kid joking around. We'll bring on Brother Gary. I once worked at a cheap pizza shop to get by, 'cause I needed the dough. Kids, because I needed to know, right? You're good kids. You're the best Jesus kids ever. All right, kids. My friends and I have named our band Duvet. It's a cover band. Duvet, right? Okay. Oh, okay. You guys know what a duvet is? Oh, you must be upper class little kids. All right. Praise God for you. All right. Because otherwise it would be bed in the bag at Walmart. Thank you, Jesus. All right, kids. How do we know Peter was a rich fisherman? A rich fisherman. By his net income. Kids, Peter, rich fisherman, all that kind of stuff. All right. Hallelujah. Well, we don't really know he was rich, but we do know that he had a net income. Hallelujah. And on that note, let's go ahead and move into the news.
Freaky!
Hallelujah. Report claims mysterious energy attacks against United States diplomats have been conducted since the 1990s. Now, if you're not familiar with this, for quite some time, probably 2 years or more, there have been a lot of mainstream media, which is kind of alarming, really, when you think about it, talks about directed energy attacks. It started in Cuba, and then there were some attacks or, you know, claims of attacks from locations in other parts of the world against American diplomats and people, various people. All right. Now, all that being said, this is very interesting because these are things that we have known through whistleblowers of the Illuminati and such like that have been going on, plasma weapon attacks, things like that, directed energy, all these kinds of things. There's even been reports from the clandestine black ops sorts of people out there regarding some of the ships that were having collisions, you know, oh, no, the USS blah, blah has smashed into another ship out in the such and such a China Sea, you know, and then you would see residual reports or side reports that, you know, all the power systems went dark on the ship. And then, of course, there would be claims that there was an EMP type of a weapon that was used. So there's a lot of advanced weaponry out there that apparently we've been hearing about through the various Illuminati whistleblowers and such, okay, over the years on this program and other programs as well, that are now becoming a part of mainstream news. Part of mainstream news. And this particular directed energy attack concept or event or whatever you want to call it, claim, okay, against U.S. diplomats, microwave attacks, directed energy, whatever you want to call it, are now becoming, well, I don't know if you want to call it mainstream. It's definitely mainstream in the sense that it's making it onto news outlets that otherwise would never, ever talk about things of this nature because they're very you know, like Born Identity-esque, okay? And so, of course, a lot of people roll their eyes and like, yeah, directed energy, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? When you've been doing this for a really long time and you look at the video footage of the so-called Capitol riots and all that, and you see the mind control towers that they set up and the facial recognition systems that were, you know, but everywhere. They were everywhere. And they're still sending FBI agents. They're still sending all kinds of law enforcement, Department of Homeland Security people out there to go in and you know, breaking down doors, going into people's houses. There was a couple that was just recently had their house broken into with a warrant over some ridiculous claim, you know, associated with Pelosi's laptop. And, you know, then they say it's a case of mistaken identity. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, folks, you know, if this is any kind of a warning, which it ought to be, to us on the things that are going to be happening and becoming like 1,000 times worse, you know, then, oh, my. I mean, that's really about all you can say is, oh, my. It's going to get a lot worse. And so, yeah, we need to look at our Candyland map and ask ourselves, what are we going to have to do with our lives to be able to draw in closer to Jesus through praise and worship, prayer, and continue to run this race? Because at this level of intensity, with all the ugly and evil that is happening around about us worldwide, many of us aren't going to make it. You're going to run out. You're going to crumble. Our emotional makeup as humans is not able to endure the trauma that is associated with all the things that we've had to go through over the last years, over the last year. Okay, particularly if it has hit you close to home and you've lost loved ones. Okay, so again, we've got to figure out how we're going to cut the earthly umbilical cord and draw in closer to Jesus, look at our Candyland map to heaven and continue this race and do it in grace, not humiliating the kingdom, but doing wonderful things for Jesus, not losing our credibility by saying things that are not biblical and incorrect. Once you lose that credibility, folks, like I told you, I went out and told everybody in my housing development here. I walked around with cards and told everybody what was going to happen back in 2016, 2015. I put together prophecy cards and prophecies didn't come true. I've lost all those fish. Those fish are not going to, I don't know if I'll get another opportunity, but you have to understand, you got to be very careful about credibility. Once you lose credibility, it is very, very, very hard to get it back. And we are on the cusp of the largest Christian credibility crisis that the world has ever seen. I have articles. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. Articles about Christians that have hit mainstream news worldwide that are telling the truth about things that were said about Trump, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that credibility can never come back. It can't come back. And that hampers our ability to touch people's lives and help them to understand the days that we are in right now. And that's a travesty, because the days that we're in right now are screaming for us to go out and touch people's lives in love, compassion, generosity, giving, and true anointed, grace-filled testimony of our journeys in our walk with Christ to help others make it. And we can't be swimming amidst all of that incorrect information that's out there, because no one's going to believe it. They're going to think we've lost it. And that's a very, very sad thing. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next up, hallelujah. Indian virologist discovers COVID mutations that could evade immune responses, which basically this particular scientist and group of scientists are saying what many others have been saying, is that these mutations, which is what they're claiming they are, they're claiming that they're just normal viral mutations, et cetera, which they could be. They could be, because this bioweapon could have been, you know, manufactured in such a manner that it was designed to mutate exceedingly fast. Now then, or it could just be releases of permutations of it or whatever, variations of the bioweapon that are being released in different parts of the world at different times in order to continue the attack against humanity. We don't know. And just goes on and on. This is one of those things that I don't know if we're ever going to get past it all. I just want to disconnect from it and just keep on drawing in closer to the Lord, because my Candyland map tells me we got a long way to go before we make it to the end of this journey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right, next one up. Kim Jong-un's sister warns that South Korea has consequences coming over the propaganda leaflets that they are dropping on the North. Kim Yo-Young. I don't even like saying her name. She just looks like Helter Skelter. Oh, my gosh. But again, I really believe with all of my heart she is going to be the one that is behind the sinking of the American aircraft carrier and the attack on Seoul, Korea. I really think so. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We know that's coming, but we don't know how far away it is. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next up. All right, listen to this headline from the Epoch Times. Listen to this. This is amazing. The numbers get higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher every single week. At least 9,245 Americans tested positive for COVID-19 after the vaccination. This is after they've had their Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, mRNA, bioweapon, phase one, phase two, multi-vaccinations. They've had them both. Okay, and then guess what? They still get COVID-19. And now, of the 9,245 that they're counting, which is whenever they're counting, by the way, you got to like quadruple that number. It's probably like 100 times greater than that number. You know, we only know what we know. We only know what people report. When the VAERS database only has the data that the people put in there. And then you got the CDC denying the accuracy of the VAERS database at the same time that they'll quote to their own purposes stuff from the VAERS database to substantiate their lies. I know, right? You know, where's our spaceship? Let's get off this alien demon infested rock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So anyway, 9,245 Americans have tested positive for COVID-19 after they received a vaccination. 132 of them are dead. Next up, hallelujah. I praise God. Tic-tac UFOs, hovering craft swarming United States Navy vessels, possibly coming from underwater bases, according to this report. A stunning 18-second clip of allegedly from July of 2019 of spherical unidentified craft swarming United States Navy destroyers. USS Russell at night had earlier been seen anonymously to filmmaker Jeremy Corbell. The footage was supposedly part of a classified briefing led by the Pentagon into unidentified aerial aerial phenomenon or UAP. Like they need another acronym for the daggone things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Another headline. This is from Strange Sounds. They're doing a really good job of collecting and aggregating all of, not all, but a bunch of the data having to do with the unbelievable geological, you know, signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, seas, roaring type things. Okay, and this particular article, they just gave it the headline, "This is Biblical! Microburst in Phoenix, Arizona." It says apocalyptic hail in Texas and Oklahoma. Amazing videos and pictures. And it really is. It's a fabulous collection of the unbelievable. And when you see these photographs, when you see these videos, when you see the size of the hail, folks, it is not, now I'm not saying that every single hail stone, okay, is this big, but some of the hailstones in the recent Texas hail event, okay, are so big. We're not talking about softball anymore. Okay, not softball size, much larger than that, much, much larger than that. I would say, what would it be? Well, probably about 3 or 4 softballs in size. And some of them are so big and heavy and such that they literally crashed directly. Never mind that the cars were just absolutely destroyed, holes, the roofs of the cars caved in completely, but these things were smashing through the roofs of buildings and homes of people and coming right into their living rooms. Unbelievable. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is the kind of stuff we need to be focusing on, not all that other weird COVID stuff. Because I'm telling you stuff, folks, this is the COVID stuff right now at this point is a sleight of hand of Satan to distract us from the other warnings that we should be paying attention to of the shortness of the time that we have on this earth. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next up. All right, hallelujah. Listen, it's like a plague of Egypt. Unprecedented amounts of dead fish cover the lake shore in Lebanon. Okay, now, folks, I haven't really done my homework, and so I'm guilty as charged on the amount of animal kills that are continuing to happen across the world. I do have some sources that I used to follow pretty closely, but the problem is the apocalyptic news has overwhelmed me so much, admittedly so, that I, you know, you would almost have to do a 2-hour dedicated radio show just to cover the animal kill events, you know, the weird fish dying, you know, birds. I mean, there was like these starling birds. I saw the video. It was unbelievable. These birds, they're just flying around in groups, and the starlings do that. They kind of, you know, they're weird and creepy birds, but they kind of fly in these almost like bees, you know, killer bees, and they swarms and stuff. But then they all of a sudden, they're like in this neighborhood. I think it was in the United Kingdom. I'm not sure. But anyway, and then all of a sudden, they just kind of swoop up and then swoop right down, and they go directly down into this person's chimney, into their house. And I was having a conversation with somebody about this, and I was like, you know, and I said, that's really weird. And the person responded back to me, well, you know, all things considered with Planet X and the geomagnetic, you know, things that are going on the Earth, you know, that's not that weird, was the comment. And I said, no, you're actually missing my point. I said, I get the Planet X stuff. I get the geological, you know, weirdness that's going on the world, you know, and the electromagnetic bizarre things that are happening that are causing the animals to do all the things that are, you know, all that. I get that. My point was that when you look at the video and you see there's an entire neighborhood of houses, these birds swooped up in the air and went straight down the chimney of one house. Are you getting the weirdness here now? Okay? One house. Now, if they had gone down in the chimneys of 10 houses, it would have still been weird. Okay? Because it's one thing for a bird to get disoriented because of geomagnetic bizarreness that is happening across the world and smacking into buildings and all that other stuff. But it's another thing to have them swoop down inside somebody's chimney. But it's even 10,000 times more bizarre when they all swoop into one chimney. Get it? But you know what? Okay, fine. Let's just go ahead and swim in our cesspool of COVID-19 nonsense and forget about all the other signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, seas, roaring things that are happening across the world that are things that we ought to be focusing on as we draw in closer to Jesus. Somehow we got to cut that umbilical cord and just disconnect. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next one, next headline up. Glory be to God. Praise. Oh, Lord, this is good. All right. Now listen to this. Headline. Trump floats 2024 presidential run again, says Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, could be his potential running mate. Okay. No comment. Next up. All right, listen to this. Finnish Christian politician formally charged for hate crime against homosexuals after quoting the Bible. Look, folks, I'm seeing the videos. I'm seeing the links. I'm reading the articles. I'm seeing the persecution. I'm seeing the Canadian, whatever they are. I don't know what to call them. There's some sort of law enforcement agencies going into churches, building fences around churches, preachers being arrested in the streets. But you know what? We're still not there yet. It's going to get a lot worse. Yeah. Yeah, we live in some seriously creepy, dark times. There was another shooting, a mass shooting, another one up in Wisconsin at the Oneida Indian Reservation casino. This was last night. I mean, I'll flip on my phone and I'll take a look at the headlines and I'm like, and I have this thing called Scanner, which is like a police scanner that's, you know, it's like internet-based police scanner. And if there's a lot of people listening to a particular channel, it will pop up an alert on my phone. And I saw that like over 19,000 people were listening to, you know, Brownsville County, Wisconsin police last night. And I looked and I was like, what is this? Was it last night or the night before? I forget. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it seems like we can't go two or three days, even a couple of days, really, without another active shooter. This is mind control slave. This is Fritz Springmeier mind control slave stuff. Really creepy. It's been happening all along, but never at the intensity that we have right now. Next one up. Okay, this is what I was talking about earlier. Destructive hail and tornado slam southern United States, causing billions of dollars worth of damage. And again, if you saw the hailstone, folks, if you'd looked at any of it, it's just unbelievable. Praise God. Another headline. Glory be to God. An Arizona lawmaker tests positive for virus after being fully vaccinated. The reports of this dynamic. Tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of people getting both of their bioweapon injections and then still getting it and dying. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Keep us strong, Father. Help us to keep on going on the Candyland map to glory. Next one up. We need booster vaccine shots. Again, COVID-19 variant starting this fall, says Moderna CEO. So they're starting to tell everybody, get ready. We need your arms again. We're going to start sticking you again. We're going to put some more poisons in your arm. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Thank you, Jesus. Next headline. WorldNet Daily reports states reopening. United States economy surges. Well, I'm here to tell you, and they're pointing to a 6.4 figure, blah, 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 blah. You know what? At the end of the day, I don't really know that any of this is true. I really don't. I will say this. When I disconnect as much as I can from the United States, as we ought, because we're citizens of heaven, it's not what we are being told. It really isn't. The situation in Germany is absolutely horrible. The situation in the United Kingdom is absolutely horrible, although they're trying to break away from it a little bit, and the UK. France, Marcon, really bad. Don't even get me going on certain parts of the world. Like, don't even get me going on India. And I know that there are COVID deniers out there that are saying, that stuff that's going on in India is just being blown out of proportion. I'm here to tell you, you're full of it. Sorry, but you are. You don't know what you're talking about, and you need to just be quiet. See, until you learn to correlate news information from multiple news sources all across the entire world, sampling news agencies from Russia, from the Middle East, from the South, from Southeast Asia, from all over the world, and correlating the data from multiple news agencies, and then again correlating the data from Twitter, where you're able to see miniature videos confirming what is actually being claimed to be happening. When you learn to correlate that data globally, that's when you can reconcile the validity of the information. And you don't fall into the trap of just joining all the lemmings, jumping over the hill and going, it's all a big lie. The problem is that Satan is brilliant. And he understands how to manipulate the mind of man worse than, oh, it's so horrible. It's so horrible. Words cannot describe it. Words can't describe it. It's horrible. And just like Paul said, you know, a little bit of leaven spoils the whole lump. Well, guess what? What happens when they mix so many lies with so much of the truth that at the end of the day, nobody really knows what's actually happening? Is it happening? Yes. Is it happening? No. Is it this bad? Yes. Is it this bad? No. It's all of the above. When it gets to be that bad, all we can see, it's just like it's anarchy. It's literally information anarchy. And if we don't know our Bible really well, we are going to get sucked into it. I see it every week. It is the number one thing that is, it makes me stutter. I really don't know how to deal with it, except to keep on coming on the program, keep on warning people, and keep on telling people, get out your Candyland map and look at it, because we got a race to run, and this isn't the end of the race yet. Listen to this. New dangerous chemical leak detected at a nuclear waste site in Washington State. Another headline. Florida House approves vaccine passport ban. This isn't going to do any good. This isn't good. All these bans for this and bans against that, ban this, ban that, ban this, ban that. Ban this in this state, that state, this other state, this other country, it doesn't matter. Once you start creating that paradigm where you've got to have your Gestapo papers, you can't stop it. It's unstoppable. It's unstoppable, and they know it. All right, praise God. And on that note, let's go ahead and bring on Brother Gary Wayne. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Gary, are you there?
I am, and so happy to be with you tonight. And what a wonderful set of headlines that you set the table with tonight. It's absolutely
me up.
Totally related and totally...
Oh, yeah.
Inspiring, maybe.
You're cracking me up, man. I love it. Praise God. I know, right? Doesn't it make you just want to get – I want to do the astronaut farmer thing. I don't know about you, but I do. I hope somebody builds a spaceship that has, like, lots of rooms and places for us to stay, and we can all gather together and, I don't know, just get out of here. I'm about sick and tired of this planet. Hallelujah. But anyway, on that note, I'm just going to go ahead and thank you, brother, for joining us tonight and praising God that the electronics hasn't not, you know, the house hasn't gone, you know, blacked out like it did the last program and the internet go down like it did. You know, I have resiliency set up here so that I can have a power outage and the radio show will stay up. I've got, you know, uninterruptible power supplies that are expensive that keep the entire internet connected here at the Golden JIB studios. Praise God. All right. But if it's a major event, okay, where the whole region, you know, like the whole, I don't know what you want to call it, but let's say it's a 2-mile radius around my house that goes out in power, then when that occurs, the internet backbone, it goes down and then that, I'm toast. You know, there isn't enough praying in the world that can get that bad boy to come back up fast enough for me to recover the show, which is what happened on the last program. And we're so blessed to have you join us again. And on that note, I'm just going to fade into the background, hand the mic over to you. You know where we are in this journey. This is exciting. I've had a lot of people email me and tell me they were bummed out that we didn't get to do that show because they really love it when you join the program. So thank you, Gary, for taking us on this journey and continuing it with us. God bless you.
Well, thank you so much. And But as I said, the headlines were just absolutely terrific because we're going to talk about my book. And everything that is going on today is very, very pertinent to what I talk about in the book. And the book will actually make sense of a lot of what you're seeing today. When things look sort of out of shape and going in 1,000 different directions, they're really not. But that's the disinformation. That's what they want you to think. So my book is called The Genesis 6 Conspiracy, How Secret Societies and the Descendants of Giants Plan to Slave Humankind. In the nutshell version of what it's about, it begins in Genesis 6 with the creation of the giants and the royal dynasties. And it matches up the other partners that include the fallen angels and the descendants of Cain, and the organizational structure of the science and the religions that all come together to parade the antediluvian epoch or before the flood epoch into the first apocalypse by water. It also then goes on to how these organizations, peoples, and bloodlines cross the flood. And the bloodlines I like to call the House of Dragon, which as we get more into the book, you'll find out is a very appropriate term for these royal dynasties being called the House of Dragon. And how these organizations all come together again after the flood and take over all of the kingships, all complete control of the people, just as they did before the flood. And then how they've affected our history, how this is important today as to what they're doing and what they're planning and how they plan on bringing about the end time, because they want to bring on the end time. So this brings a lot of that information that you're going to need together all in one book. And we're going to start in chapter one and go through a couple chapters tonight and just give you a good feel for the book and the type of information that you're going to get that you're going to need. One of the things I thought I should do, though, because you have a lot of people out there all of the time that are talking about the Bible and how they understand and interpret the Bible and how they look at prophecy. And my book deals significantly with prophecy as well, particularly in one of the midsections. And so I wanted to let you know how I approach the Bible and prophecy, because you need to understand that so you can measure against what I'm saying as to what you're reading. And so the first thing is I read the Bible literally, including Revelation. And I define all the allegories in the Bible from within the Bible only. And just as in the book, where I'm going to use a ton of outside sources and I'm going to let them speak for themselves, I measure everything against what they say, against what the Bible says, and look for the direction and where it strays so that you get a clear picture of what they're planning and where they came from and why they're doing what they're doing. I like to combine points one and two with sort of setting out the notion that to understand Bible prophecy, you need to understand prehistory, because so much of it that happens in prophecy is defined in prehistory and the allegories that go with it. And if you understand prehistory, you're going to understand biblical history. If you're going to understand biblical history, you're going to see how we got to where we are. So it's important to understand prehistory, to understand prophecy and everything that's going on in the Bible, because it's all sort of built on that platform. I read the Bible in a linear manner. This means it begins in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. I also read Revelation as linear, and you'll understand why in a couple of minutes. And that where you get verses, whether it's in Revelation or books in the Bible that aren't completely linear, you get the markers that tell you where those verses in Revelation will fit, particularly the ones that come after Revelation 14, with the summary at the end of Revelation 14, and or let's say the book of the prophets, you're going to get clear information and markers that are going to tell you where it fits in the linear chronology of the Bible. Number five, I try to include all relevant passages on a subject, particularly on prophecy, but all passages to better understand the complete meaning and the chronology of events or the doctrine. Point six is I don't leave out the inconvenient passages, because I don't believe that the Bible contradicts itself. And if you can't fit all the passages in, so it tells the complete story without contradiction, you need to go back and have another look at it. But when you do this, it fits. But there's one other guiding thing that we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. But moving on in number seven, I apply all prophecies of Judah to the southern kingdom, all prophecies of Jacob and Israel to the lost tribes. And you need to keep that straight and separate from the church. So don't confuse church prophecies or the saints' prophecies with Israel or Judah. And understand that we're going to have an awakening of Israel in the end time. That's a different subject. I apply prophecies assigned to the specific tribes like Ephraim and Manasseh to them as the lost tribes, and even to Dan, which is going to play an important role in the end time. I place all passages on prophecy, doctrine, or information around what Jesus said, not vice versa. I don't apologize for what Jesus said. He is the spirit of prophecy. And if you put everything, including revelations, around what he said in the chronology that he provides you, don't apologize for how he said it or when he said it. He gives you the chronology. Everything falls in place. And I believe Jesus is the authority on prophecy, and everything written in the Bible is the Alpha Omega and the spirit of prophecy that talks about in Revelation 19:10, and he's the word of God. Revelation 19:13 and John 1:1-3 and 14. So that's basically how I approach my research for the book as well. And everything outside the book is measured against the Bible. So having put that on the table and considering what Brother John was talking about earlier, we're going to start into chapter one that's called Heroes of Old. And this is sort of an introduction into a 6,000-year story. And in chapter 1, we're going to begin with Genesis 6, 1 through 4, where the Genesis 6 conspiracy starts to come to fruition. And what's interesting about Genesis 6, 1 through 4, this is the creation of the giants, as the King James Version will talk about, which are the Nephilim that are used in other English translations. And these are the people that are called in some of the English translations other than the King James Bible. And by the way, I'm using a modern version in this book to connect to more people and to plant more seeds with people and sort of invite them in. But I'm very, very conversant in the King James Bible and four other English translations because I like to triangulate everything and then take everything back to Hebrew. So I can go very deep, which is very, very important. Even though I have a lot of detail in the book, you haven't seen the detail that we could get into if you're looking for additional information through my website on something that I might be talking about. But Genesis 1, 6 through 4, most people overlook at is the preamble to the flood narrative, where the mighty ones are created, the men of renown, the giants, the Nephilim, who are, you know, that word Nephilim is based in the Hebrew word Nephal for the fallen ones. These are the men of renown, Shem and Co, driven from Shema or Shemaim or the heavenly ones. So they're both not only of reputation, but they're also from the Shemaim, the heavenly ones. And then I'm going to introduce, as we talk about this concept, just to sort of lay the setting, we're going to talk about how it connects to part of the end time things that we're seeing right now, where we are being absolutely inundated with superheroes. And again, go to that term, heroes of old, that some of the other English translations will use, as opposed to the mighty ones, or the men of renown. These are the superheroes of old. And so we have all of these superheroes that are based on things that happened in prehistory. You have ones like Superman, who comes from the house of El, and is the son of El, or the son of a god. El is the Hebrew word for angel and or god and or God Almighty when it's capitalized. You have Batman, who's based on the house of the bat called the Camazotz out of the Zabalba muddy ones that's recorded in the Kesha Maya. So you could Google Camazot, C-A-M-A-Z-O-T-Z, and you're going to bring it up, and it's going to have that modern look to the suit that Batman has. And these heroes had superhuman powers. And they were part man and part God, as they're known in polytheism. We're going to talk about how that connects into polytheism, that this is a concept that is known all around the world. And we're going to talk about how the heroes in Greek and Sumerian history are the same as the Nephilim, the giants that were created in Genesis 6. And just as Gilgamesh, out of the Sumerian pantheon, are part of the great heroes of Uruk, Gilgamesh was created after the flood with Enkidu, and they're classified as one-third human and two-thirds God, partly divine, partly human. And of course, that is part of the understanding of a demigod. And in the ancient world, a demigod was understood as the offspring of a god and a human female, just as Genesis 6:4 talks about the sons of God, the fallen angels, produced the mighty ones of old. And just as you would have Poseidon in Greek mythology creating 10 demigod kings for his Atlantis empire through human female name climbing. These are connections that are heard all around the world. It's one of those common legacies that I'm going to introduce you into and how the terms all sort of fit. In Hesiod, that was written in 900 BC, just so you an example of what you're going to learn in chapter one, is that he talks about the heroes who were men of great renown. So again, you wonder whether or not that heroes of old is maybe a bit of a polytheist influence on some of the English translations, where instead of having mighty ones, you're getting heroes of old. Interesting how the language is seemingly identical that comes into our modern English. And these were the heroes, the Titan warriors, and the demigods. And they were a race created by the gods or the fallen angels. And so as we move into this, we're going to start introducing Noah into the picture. And as to what was going on at that time with Noah, we're going to start to contemplate, did Noah interact with these giants? And how did they affect these giants, affect the human history before the flood? So it's kind of an introductory chapter in the first section, chapter one, in a section called The Age of Great Heroes. And then we're going to move forward into chapter two. And it's called The Daughters of Cain. And this is going to set some of the table for what is going on in Genesis 6, 1 through 4, and start to give you some inward-looking insights as to how and why this conspiracy actually starts before that, because there are events that are going to happen that are going to bring everything to fulfillment by the time of Noah's generation. And so this is setting this early scene of the antediluvian epoch. And we're going to walk through some of the characters that are listed in Genesis, both in the Cainite bloodline that are listed, and also in the Adamite bloodline that is branched through Seth. So you've got Genesis 4 and you've got Genesis 5. And just for clarification so that people know, the Sethite bloodline is actually introduced at the end of chapter 4. And it's the same type of creation that is created as with Adam. So for people who might want to ignore that in terms of some of the things that they might say about what's going on in Genesis 4, understand that there isn't a separation of the bloodlines. It actually it happens in its exact chronological order. And then you get, as you move into the end of Genesis, you get Enos, and that's when men began to call on God again. And that's where you get the separation of the bloodlines. One bloodline is going to honor God, and one is going to go another direction, which is kind of stuff that we kind of assume, but we don't get a lot of information as to what's going on and what's driving this. And by the sixth generation and into the seventh generation, but by the sixth generation, the descendants of Cain have become completely corrupted. Generation after generation getting more evil. And we're going to walk you through all the different sources that match up perfectly with what the Bible says that explains how this happens. And then by the seventh generation, it starts to affect the Sethites. And we're going to talk about the violence began before Jared in the lineage of Seth and Enoch and Methuselah and Lamech and Noah, which are the last members of the Sethite line before the flood, and essentially encapsulating the days of Noah. And it's important to understand the days of Noah. Just as the days of Noah is a overarching sign provided in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and in the book of Luke. It is not just the godlessness of this generation. It's not that they just weren't expecting the apocalypse. That's part of it. But, you know, Jesus was so specific in his words when he used, it will be like the days of Noah. Those godlessness and not expecting the end time will be part, no doubt. But it's not the complete story. In fact, the words that Jesus uses, even though we get the New Testament from Greek and the Old Testament from Hebrew, the words match up very, very well with Genesis 9, 28 and 29. Noah lived 600 years before the flood and 350 years after the flood. And we need to understand everything that happened in the days of Noah. And the words are exact. Both will use the days of Noah. And that just shows you why Jesus is the authority and why we need to put everything around what Jesus said. So we need to look at what was going on. And all of the things that plagued the earth before the flood happen again shortly after the flood. That's getting a little bit further ahead into the book, but it's the importance of understanding what was going on. And the whole world was corrupt that Genesis 6 talks about. And what was going on is what we're describing is this corruption that is going on in the lineage of Cain that is going to leap over the branches and totally corrupt the Sethite line, except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And totally, when you look at the word corrupt, that's the Hebrew word shakath. That means destroyed, ruined, decayed, words like that. It wasn't that just the whole earth was violent, it was corrupted. And so that means the plant genomes, and that means the DNA. And when we start to consider, as we are with this introduction to the early scene, all the different stories in polytheism of all these different creatures, including giants, but many, many others, that is what we're actually talking about. And when we look at the corruption that is going on, this is going on in a way that is going to demand some technology and knowledge. Knowledge that is way beyond what secular history or church teachers apply to the antediluvian epoch. We have this imagination, these pictures of this shepherd world, of this low-tech world, and very, very little reading and writing and things like that. That is the total opposite of what was going on, which is why we need to understand the days of Noah, because I think that their knowledge actually is beyond what we have today. And until we catch up to that, that's when we actually get into those last 7 years. So I think we're still catching up to the things that they did. And we'll cover more of this in the book. This is sort of setting the table for you in terms of things of what you're going to find in chapter two. And we're going to learn all about how Cain became corrupted. And this is going to lead you into the lineage of Lamech of the Cain line. And understand there's a Lamech of the Noah line. And there's many names that are similar. And most of them are all pronounced the same. But we get introduced to some of the other parallel stories in chapter two, and including the Gnostics and the secret societies, because Gnosticism is the religion of the secret societies. And without coincidence, you have Lamech, Nama, his daughter, and three of his sons listed, Tubal-Cain, Jubal, and Jubal. All four are renowned patriarchs of ancient masonry who will take their beginnings back to Cain and Enoch and something that they call the seven sacred sciences. And it's these seven sacred sciences that start to develop the knowledge. We would know them as the seven liberal arts today. But the knowledge built and the knowledge became more corrupted by the generation in parallel with the people of Cain's line and used for more violence, so for more war. And these are the seven sciences that Enoch is accredited with as being one of their major patriarchs. And he developed all of the knowledge for evil. And the idea of the knowledge was to, and this will resonate with you with what happens with the knowledge today, and I don't think knowledge is either good or evil. It's how it's used that's important. But the knowledge that was developed by the descendants of Cain was used to lead people away from God, just as we see today. It was used to honor their pantheon of gods, just as we see the architecture and everything they do honors their gods today. They used the knowledge to degrade God and to deny God and not give him credit for anything. These are all attributes of the knowledge-based cult behind the sciences today. And we need to understand that this knowledge goes right back to prehistory. And this is the knowledge that will merge with the giants and the fallen angels that will accelerate the knowledge to a level that will parade the earth into destruction. And this becomes that organizational structure that we're starting to lay out, that is the fallen angels, the descendants of Cain, the daughters of Cain, the giants who are going to be the royal dynasties, and the mystical religion that is developed from these sciences. And this is a concept that we need to understand, that mystical religions are about hidden knowledge. It is an extension of this corrupted knowledge. And that through the development of the lineage of Cain, the daughters of Cain were well prepared to mate with the sons of God in Genesis 6. And as we move into chapter 3, this really starts to become important, because chapter 3 is called the sons of God. And this is a very, very important part of prehistory. And, you know, one of the things that I always thought was strange in modern churches is that they don't teach prophecy. They don't teach prehistory. And the little that they touch on it, they never bring it into full context. So you never get a full understanding as to what was really taking shape. And so in chapter 3, we're going to deal with who the sons of God are. And up until about a couple of hundred years ago, sons of God were always known as angels. And even in the time of Josephus, he documented them as angels and also documented that this was the common understanding even amongst the polytheists, the pagans of that time, that the gods mated with human females to create these giants. They just called them gods as opposed to fallen angels. And this is in the same vein as the book of Enoch. Very rarely in this book will I quote directly from the book of Enoch, not that I don't have it and that I couldn't. I'm going to use the book of Enoch for how the polytheists set things up. But I will quote from Enoch through them so you get an understanding how they interpret the book of Enoch. And I like the book of Enoch a lot, by the way. It's got a few corruptions in here, and we don't have the original human or the Hebrew manuscript. And so we can't verify its veracity. And like I say, it's got a couple small corruptions in there, and I've got a document on that if people want to know what those corruptions might be and how and why I come to say what I'm saying about it. But 99%, it follows scripture. So I like it a lot. Second Enoch, third Enoch, Book of Giants, not so much. It's got a lot, they've got a lot of issues and a lot of either corruptions or perhaps written by polytheists. And so the sons of God, we need to understand who they are and how they fit. And there's a lot of understanding out there that, you know, from Christians and particularly coming from the modern church, the sons of God are the descendants of Seth, which is interesting. And we do know, as I mentioned earlier, that Enos in Genesis 4:26, as I recall, you know, talks about this as when men became and, you know, turned back to God. But nowhere does it call Sethites as sons of God. We don't get that term. And where it's, as when we look at Genesis 6, 1 through 4, we actually get the daughters of men marrying the sons of God. And the daughters of men, you know, are this, is the same male and female languages that comes out of Genesis 1:27, and the same description that we get for the sons of men, you know, coming out of the Sethites, but not as the son of God. And I think that's an important distinction. But we do get descriptions in the Bible as to who the sons of God are. So in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, 1:6 and 2:1, you have the sons of God presenting themselves to God in heaven. And some people say that those are men presenting themselves in Eden, but we don't get any scripture for that. So that's an assumption, and we don't have any scripture other than Enoch going to heaven and Elijah going to heaven, where you would have so many people that are going to the throne of God in heaven. And what's really interesting as well is we get the sons of God in Job 38 verses 4 through 7, that are there at the time of creation. And so the sons of God in Job 38 can't be humans. They can't be the Sethites. And of course, the morning stars sing with for joy who are beside the sons of God in Job 38. And what's important to understand about this is that the concept of the sons of God, we have scripture for in the Old Testament as being angels. Just as the sons of God is Ben Ha-Elohim, and Elohim being plural. So the sons of God in plural. And we also know that the angels are classified similarly as the sons of God. They may be a different order, and they likely are. Probably watchers. Probably the seraphim. The watchers are mentioned in three times in Daniel 4, seraphim in Isaiah 6. These are the fiery serpent angels that work before the altar of God. But the larger point is we get these terms of clusters of angelic beings, and they are allegorically the stars. They are the sons of God, and they are angels, and they are the host of heaven. And the host of heaven is defined as being a hierarchy, and there's rank, and there's order, and there's many, 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 many angels. And what's interesting about that is we get these terms, those four, the host of heaven, stars, sons of God, and angels that work together in various passages. So just as you have the sons of God with the morning stars, you're going to get these terms like the host of heaven and stars, as in Daniel 8:10 in a prophecy. You are going to get Psalms 82 that are going to talk about the children of the Most High as the gods. And again, that's the sons, the children of the Most High, Ben Ha-Elyon. And of course, Elyon would be capitalized, another word for God of the Most High. These are the angels. These are the fallen angels. This is their council of gods. Just as they're counterfeiting everything in heaven in this angelic rebellion, just as Lucifer is going to counterfeit everything and try and be like God, everything is counterfeited. And we get the true council of gods in Jeremiah 23 and 1 Kings 22. And council of gods in Psalms 82 is the ruling fallen angels. These are the children of the Most High. It's the same meaning as the sons of God in Genesis 6:4. In fact, El for mighty, as in the mighty congregation, is the same term in singular form as the Elohim. So it's the same words, it's the same meaning as you take that back to Hebrew. And then Jesus, of course, recognizes that what is written in Scripture is accurate and it's perfect, and that as these angels are called the children of the Most High, they are the gods. And Jesus confirms that council of God, just as he confirms there's a council of God in heaven. And so you've got all of these terms that are used sort of in circular support. And that's where I'm going with this, is that I will provide a lot of detail directionally in this chapter, but if you want to go verse by verse, how you know the sons of God are angels, get a hold of me through my website, and I'll give you a verse by verse layout in terms of how we know that they are angels. And I also understand that, and we're going to cover off the argument of could they be the sons of God of the New Testament? And it's a very good argument. So if you get into, Matthew 22, it talks about no sex in heaven. And yet you have these spirit beings, angels, who are creating the offspring. We're going to cover that off in there in terms of understanding that angels have a changeling quality. And they have this quality that they can, if they want to interact with the world physically, they're going to take a physical form. Of course, in that physical form, you're going to have DNA. And that DNA is then going to be passed on if they're going to cohabitate with human females. And this starts to understand the word habitat, which is the Hebrew word oikotarion, which is a dwelling place for the spirit that these fallen angels left in Jude 1:6. And I've got a great document on soul, spirit, and body, which explains this oikotarion dwelling place, the difference between the soul and the spirit, and why the spirit needs a dwelling place in the physical world to interact physically. They can be in the world, but physically they want to interact. They need to take a body form. And, of course, we have angels, as in Sodom, who take the form of a human. And they interact physically. Sometimes they're recognized as humans, and sometimes they're recognized as angels who look like humans. But we get examples in the Bible that they can take form. But in Matthew 22, it says that there's no marriage in heaven. And we're going to cover off that argument as well, because there's no marriage in heaven. That's the realm of the spirit beings. And that's the realm of the immortal ones. So you don't need to have sex to reproduce. Angels were created in spirit and immortal, and no need to reproduce because their numbers, as Daniel and Revelation will talk about, whether it's allegorical or accurate, it's a big number. It's 10,000 times 10,000, which is 100 million, and a full one-third rebelled, so it's at least 33 million. They're also counted as uncountable, like sand grains. So there's a lot of angels is where I'm going with this. But, you know, Mark 12 and Luke 20, they add some detail to what's being talked about in Matthew 22. And it says, we do not marry in heaven because we do not die. And we're not, and today we aren't equal and we do die. But when we are resurrected, we will be equal to angels as children of the resurrection, as the sons of God. We are part of the New Testament sons of God, but this is a distinct term from what happens before the flood, what happens in Genesis 6 as the sons of God. And the reason why I say that is beginning in Acts, we get this whole concept of adoption that I'm going to talk about in this chapter. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that even though we have human fathers, we're going to be adopted as sons of God. We're going to be adopted as God sends the Spirit crying, Abba, through the resurrection. So after the resurrection, we're going to be adopted as the sons of God when we're resurrected and into heaven, and we won't require marriage. And again, I have a super document that walks you all the way through this. If you want it in more detail, I'll cover a lot of the detail in the book. But if you want a total blow verse, I've got that as well. And also we'll cover off in the book in terms of the how Israel is called the firstborn son of God. I'll tell you why that doesn't fit, because Jesus obviously is the firstborn, and I'll back that up with the verses. And in Hosea 1, you've got Israel as the sons are the children of God, but that's an end time prophecy. And in Isaiah 43, we're going to call Israel sons of the maker, and it's an end time prophecy talking about the second Exodus, which is what I was referring to in the awakening of lost Israel earlier on in the show. And of course, that's verse out of 43. So I'm going to put all that in context with you so you get a good understanding as to why the Hebrew people understood the sons of God were angels and how this was a concept right from the beginning of Hebrew scripture and up to a couple 300 years ago, where we in Christianity lost control of our seminary schools, and they are not talking about prehistory, and they are not talking about prophecy. And also in the chapter, we're going to cover off demon spirits, which is why you also need to understand about the oikotarion body, soul, and spirit document that we're talking about. And I have a great document that even goes into more detail than I put in the book. But the demon spirits is another thing that needs to be understood that we're going to cover off in chapter 3, and the 120-year reign, or 120-year lifespan that happens in Genesis 6:3, right in the creation story of the giants, and how also Josephus also recognized that was limiting the angels and all humans to 120 years, but because of the fallen angels. And how this connects to hero worship, the demon spirits, and how we know the demon spirits are the spirits of the bodiless Nephilim giants and Rephaim giants after the flood, because their bodies were no longer immortal. And when those bodies died, they weren't permitted to go to sleep, and they weren't permitted to go to heaven. And these are the demons that wander the earth today that Jesus talks about, who are thirsty and looking for a place of rest. They're in dry places, and the only way they can interact in the world is to possess, and they have to suppress the host. And so we'll walk you through that in chapter 3. And again, I've got a great document on that that will really lay it out. If you want the scriptural case for the spirits as the bodiless spirits of the giants who had the immortal counterfeit spirit passed on to them when the fallen angels took physical form, had DNA, and why they were known as superheroes and supermen and had powers that we can't really imagine, all reflected in the propaganda of the allegories of the superhero wave that we've seen for the last 20 or 25 years that just inundates our entertainment. So those are the first three chapters. And if you wanted to get a hold of me to get some of the information that I was talking about, or get a better idea as to what's in my whole book, I've got a generous excerpt on all 98 chapters on my website, and that's the Genesis6Conspiracy.com, just Genesis 6 with the number 6Conspiracy.com. And on there, I've got a contact the author. So if you want to ask me a question or get some of the documents, that's the best way to get a hold of me. And you can also link over if you're interested to buy a signed copy, and or over to BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com, and or over to the Kindle version. So lots of way to utilize the website and get a hold of a copy or more information if you're interested. So the next time when we come back, we'll be covering off chapters 4 and 5 if we get time into it, because chapter 4 is an extraordinary chapter where we're going to talk about what these demigod giants actually look like.
You know, I love that, and I was really tuning in, you know, zeroing in my focus when you started talking about, you know, the definitions of the sons of God, and you know, how you had derived that, and I find that is one of my most, I love that subject, and what's fascinating is, I like how you come about it in the sense that you're deriving it directly from the scripture, whereby I've come to similar conclusions, maybe just a little bit expanded, perhaps. I don't know. I'm not saying more accurate by any sense. I'm simply saying expanded, definition-wise, just based on some other data inputs that I've, you know, correlated back to the scripture from multiple different sources. But I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it, because I agree with, you know, the things, you know, like when you mentioned the seraphim, I was like, bingo, ding, 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 ding. You know, the only thing that I have come to in my thoughts, but I cannot back it like you're doing 100% scripturally. In other words, I have to use this concept that everything that's in the Bible is true, but not everything that is true is in the Bible. And then I examine all of the data from just such a phenomenal number of different sources. It is unspeakable. It is unbelievable. I read books from unbelievers. I read books, you know, that are written. I read books in so much data, so much input from so many sources, from visions and dreams and prophecies of hundreds of years. And I correlate all that data and I back it into the Bible. And I think real hard about it. And I wonder to myself, okay, wait a minute. What about this? What about this? What about this? And the conclusion that I eventually came to with regard to the term sons of God, and this is just me, and I can't back it, okay? So we'll call this a sanctified hunch based on a lot of reading. I'm talking about 15 years of heavy reading, hundreds of just – it's unbelievable the amount of data that I've jammed down my throat over the last 12 years. And I have come to the conclusion that in the grand scheme of all of the kingdom of God meaning all of creation, as opposed to the city of God, which is Hebrews 12:22, where it's, you know, located on, I would argue, planet heaven, which is a multidimensional eternal realm outside of the contained hologram place that we're stuck in the middle of this particular universe. But you know, that gets really, really, really advanced. But when I look at the trillions of life forms, so there's a lot of, you know, data coming in from lots of different sources that to me confirms, including biblical sources, which I can point to, it confirms that we live in a universe that is full of trillions of galaxies and trillions of life forms. And it would be kind of silly and very prideful of us to assume that our Father would have it any other way. You know what I'm saying? That we're the only pebbles on the beach, that he created trillions of galaxies that we can see with our own eyes. And oh, by the way, we're the only ones that are alive in all the galaxies, us and the and those who are in heaven right now. And that's it. There's no other life anywhere else. See, that's silly to me. I can't deal with silly. Silly doesn't work in my brain. I have to get it out. It's like cancer. I hate silly. So I pull it out and I yank it out and I look at the big picture. And I say, in the grand scheme of all of creation, in the grand scheme of the assumption associated with eternal realms, eternal galaxies, glorified galaxies, knowing that the Bible, when it talks about the north or the east or the south or the armies from the Shamayim, which is, you know, the Hebrew word for the heavens, you know, which if you look at the King James Enhanced Concordance, you will discover quickly that it's referring to where the planets revolve, which is talking about outer space. And then, you know, and we collapse everything down into a tiny little 12-ounce can. We're like, well, God can't be that big. He has to be real small because that's where my brain is. My brain's really, really small, and I want God to fit into my tiny little thimble-sized brain, and I can't deal with that. And so I look at the whole gigantic collection of trillions of, you know, galaxies and possibly, you know, an endless number of universes and realms and dimensions and life forms and things, and what is the Son of God? And then through my own, I don't know, my own derivation of thought, it occurs to me, looking, you know, and again, biblically speaking, because that's my plumb line, the Bible doesn't contain my thought. The Bible simply gives me my plumb line, my baseline for establishing the truth. As best as I can, you know, it's not going to cover it all, but it's going to cover for me. It will validate. If I do it right, analyze it right, it'll validate my posit, okay, my hypothesis. And sons of God, in my opinion, I've written articles about this. They're just like mini articles. A son of God is any being in the universes and realms. Any being that was created by the heavenly office of God for the purpose of serving the heavenly office of God, period. Which, by the way, includes Lucifer. He's a son of God. So any being that was created by the heavenly office of God for the purpose of serving the heavenly office of God is, by its own definition, a son of God. And I it took me years to come to that conclusion, but I'm, in my own heart, I'm satisfied with that, and it fits every single possible scenario. It also allows God to have trillions and trillions of life forms and glorified realms in the universes that are not sons of God, but exist in holy, you know, longevity with families, and they're in, and Jesus, and they know Jesus, and Jesus knows them, which fits, you know, the testimonies of people who have been taken to heaven and asked questions about, and it also fits Odin Hedrick's visit to heaven, and where he saw these little beings playing music and doing, you know, I mean, anybody else, anybody who listens to Odin Hedrick's testimony about being to heaven 80 times, who, if they listen carefully enough, it's like, wait a minute, he's talking about aliens. But he says it in such a way, as like he calls them little beings in the corner of the room playing music while we're eating delicacies with Jesus at a table, you know? And I'm like, well, if they're little beings, then what are they? They're aliens. They're not from here. Anything that's not indigenous to Earth is by its own definition an alien, right? So... when I look at all of this stuff, I'm like, man. And then I listen to how you derive your conclusions, and I see the expanded thought. By the way, you're also, Gary, I tip my hat to you, brother. You're one of the few people that, I mean, of the thousands of people we probably brought on the show over the last 10 years, you're one of the few that came right out and nailed it when you said you see the book of Revelation as essentially being linear, maybe with a few exceptions. And you know what? You're right. You know, you're right. You're a literalist. You're a linearist. You know what I'm, and I am too. I'm exactly the same way. I'm like, I don't understand preterism. I don't understand how somebody can point to the second trumpet and say, well, that happened back in the 1600s. I'm like, no, how are you doing that? You know, so it drives me completely crazy, but I love to listen to you talk because you're like nailing the same foundational thought. The organization of the thought is exactly the same as mine. I love your work, brother. God bless you.
Yeah, well, when I learned how to approach scripture, I found I didn't have to worry about inconvenient passages. And so that's sort of the key. And the bigger you deep into scripture, the more you find it never contradicts itself. It only gives you more information. And there's some areas where, you know, sometimes people find a bit surprising where I say, I don't want to tread on the domain of the divine and the domain of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because, you know, when people get into judgment and what God can and can't do, that's his domain. And when you're talking about whether or not there could be planets like Earth in this huge universe, God can do anything he wants. He's Alpha Omega. We have no ability to understand what his name is, let alone all the things that he does. What we know is what we're told in the Bible in terms of who we are, how we came from, and how we get to become sons of God if we choose. And as an answer, which we'll talk a little bit later about in my book, that everything that we're going through is a result of the angelic rebellion, and you can't understand who we are, where we are, and what's happening unless you understand that.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Once again, you nailed it. Hey, wait a minute. I got a sound effect for that comment. Here's your sound effect for tonight. You know, we just got like multiple bells. You nailed it. It's absolutely true. That's one of the reasons why we, myself and brother Lauren Peterson do a little thing called the Peterson Chronicles, Angel Wars and the Luciferian Rebellion on Saturday nights, and have for many years, you know. Yeah, because you know what? You're right. It is the key to unlocking the whole deal. And it doesn't get rid of the questions. There's always going to be questions. A certain amount of understanding or information is always going to have a few gaps associated with it. And they're always, you know, but man, it makes it exciting. When you start getting the foundations down and you start understanding how big this all is, and you look at all the weird stuff going on around the world, and you realize, you know, in the grand scheme of everything, it's so not important, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Amen, brother. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, brother Gary Wayne.
Well,
again,
you.
How Descendants of the Giants Plan to Enslave Humankind. And we're in the middle of it. I mean, we're seeing it happen around us. And folks, you know, get out your Candyland game, look at the map, realize we got a little bit of a journey ahead of us. Try to disconnect yourself from all the ugly that's happening around you. Just stay in praise and prayer, drawing closer to Jesus, because the days that we have ahead of us, it's not going to get better. You know, it might get better-ish for a little while, but folks, just brace yourself, because we got a journey ahead of us. Thank you, Brother Gary. God bless you. Powerful program tonight, as always. Looking forward to the next one.
Terrific. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right. God bless you all for joining us tonight. Today is Sunday, May the 2nd in 2021. Can you believe that? And we'll see you Wednesday night, Lord willing, at 7 p.m. Eastern time here in the United States, Babylon the Great. God bless you all. And in about 30 days from now, we'll be having Brother Gary join us again. All right. Talk to you Wednesday night, Lord willing.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul. Remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then we will endure. We are the branches on the living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are light. Like those five wise virgins we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently. Longing for that blessed sound that will rise. The churches gather. We're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? We will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory. I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds,